All right, one, two, all good?
All good for me,
all good, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, last show of 2020. Fuck yeah. You, 2020, and go away.
Yeah, crazy 2020s.
Mad dog,
2020.
Sorry, I'm being a bit flussy. Flussy?
Flussy? Stop being flussy.
I'm being quite the flussy.
Hello! And welcome to episode 27 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Yes, yeah, episode 27. We both laughed at that because we both lose track. My name is Matt.
My name is Darren, and he's so right. Honestly, a few weeks ago, if you've not listened, go back and have a listen. We were talking about episode 24.
Yeah.
And it was actually episode
25.
Yeah, the whole episode. We didn't realise until we got... Anyway, welcome to the...
Are we twaffling?
We're twaffling. anyway, episode 27. The last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Of this fantastic year 2020.
It's been a blinder, isn't it?
Oh, Dennis? What a beauty this year has been. Yes, so anyway, last episode. And this week...
Oh, I was going to say to you, we've been busy this week, but no, none of us have been.
You. Same again. So this week we are going to look at a film from 1989.
Mm.
When Harry Met Sally. Yeah, a film I'd not seen all the way through before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do remember seeing little bits of it, having watched it again this week.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, first time I tried to watch it, I got bored and turned it off, I think.
So, right.
Yeah. So it was having to sit down and watch a film that I'd not managed to get all the way through before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Okay. We'll get into it, but because this is our New Year's Eve episode, Darren,
we're
not drinking beer.
Are we not?
No.
I wonder why I'm so fucking thirsty.
This.
Oh, not again.
Yeah. Normally we save this for every 10th episode, but ladies and gentlemen, I have a bottle of Prosecco.
Oh, this is going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're doing it for all the people out there. You're doing it for all the people.
Am I?
Well, no.
Are they going to... Oh. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to share the hangover tomorrow?
No.
Exactly.
Right, there we go. Pint of Prosecco.
Lovely old job, as they say in the Dudoin.
In the Dudoin.
Cheersy.
There we go, buddy.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, that smells crisp, doesn't it?
It smells lovely.
Lovely.
So this is our food and drink blog, essentially. The last few weeks, we've had Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Now we've got Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Right. Okay. Cheersy.
Lovely. Have a little... Oh, that's good on the nose, isn't it?
Yep, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Down it.
Right out. Shit, quiz is going to be interested on that.
That's very what?
Drink doesn't affect me old fucking glass, yeah.
It's already feeling like a New Year's Eve atmosphere, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because I've got my party hat on, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, your party hat.
And my suspenders.
Mm?
What? I don't know. I don't know where that was
going. No. Right.
1989, then.
Oh, yeah.
Should we pop back? It's a twaffling one already.
Mm-hmm. So, Darren, some facts about 1989, which we have rinsed so far. Do you know we've done another four films apart from this one in 1989?
Well, it's going to happen.
It is. So, the facts are a bit thin this week. So
The facts are a bit thin. It's a bit harsh.
All right, one of the fun facts of 1989, or a fact of 1989, there was a January in it.
False.
All right, so no, I do have some facts. So the WWF holds its first UK event at the London Arena.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that, wrestling fact.
Yeah.
Nick Faldo becomes the first English winner of the Masters tournament.
Oh.
Yeah, but you and I both love
our... Is that a sport thing?
I think it's golf.
He's a golfist, is he?
He's a golfist.
Oh, fucking no.
The House of Commons is televised live for the first time.
Bunch of scum.
Huh?
Huh?
We also had a new look Band-Aid forming.
Hmm.
For Do They Know It's Christmas again?
Yes.
Now, that's the one that you described a couple of weeks on our Patreon as...
Stock Aitken and Waterman's shite.
Right, yeah, that's it.
Although, to be fair, you know, the artists on it are fine, on the whole. You know, there's big fun.
there is big fun, isn't it? Well, isn't there Kylie and Jason?
Kylie and Jason, I think Erasure, Cliff.
You just glossed over Erasure, but it's Erasure, man.
Yeah, no, they're great. Yeah. Well, you're not a big fan of Erasure, are you?
I'm going to watch them next year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I just don't like Stock Aitken and Waterman, really. I think they ruined pop, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Stock and Aitken, but Waterman.
What okay.
First showing of the animation film at Grand Day Out in 1989.
Grand Day Out?
Yeah, with Wallace and Gromit.
Was that really that long ago?
It premiered at an animation festival in Bristol first.
Wow.
And then it was broadcast Christmas Eve in 1990. So it premiered in 89.
I didn't realise.
It's a long time, isn't it?
31 years ago. Fucking hell. I didn't realise it was that old.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, nice.
So there we are. Those are my facts for 1989.
Oh, bloody hell, that really was thin on the ground.
You had five.
Okay.
Well, six if you include the January one.
Nice. Fair enough.
So how about we take a little nip back and see the charts in 1989.
When Harry Met Sally received a limited release in Canada and the USA on the 12th and 13th of July 1989 and went on general release on the 21st of July 1989. And so this week we are looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 16th of July 1989. This week's number 10 is last week's number 7. It's Gladys Knight and License to Kill. At number 9, it's a climber of 21 places from last week's 30. It's Gloria Estefan and Don't Wanna Lose You. At number 8, falling 4 places, it's The Beautiful South and Song for Whoever. And at number 7, it's another faller, a fall of 2 places for Pet Shop Boys and It's Alright. It's a non-mover at number 6 for Rufus and Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody 1989. At number 5, it's last week's number 9, it's Bette Midler and Wind Beneath My Wings. At number 4, climbing 4 places from last week's number 8, it's Bobby Brown and On Our Own. Into the top 3, it's last week's number 1, it's Soul to Soul and Back to Life, However Do You Want Me. At number 2, climbing 1 place from last week's number 3, it's London Boys and London Nights. And at number 1, it's last week's number 2, Sonia and You'll Never Stop Me From Loving You. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 16th of July, 1989. And you will never know how long it's taken me to fucking record that.
I will. That was great.
Every single song, I think, apart from Bobby Brown, is one I'm really, really familiar with.
Was it London Nights from the London Boys?
Yeah, London Nights.
London Nights, when the party's down and the feeling good. Should we start running up the walls and backflipping now?
Yeah, they were. I really liked them.
I liked the London Boys as well. That's cool. It's a really good chart.
Really good chart.
On that.
For a late 80s chart, yeah.
Before we just find out some of the ones that just missed it.
Yeah.
So I bumped into the composer of our chart music the other day.
Right.
And he said to me, I was in bed with you the other night. I went, excuse me. And he said he was listening to the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he was listening to Vacation. And he went, Darren's got a bit of a potty mouth, hasn't he?
Fuck off.
So there we are. Shout out to Al. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers, Al. Yeah, so anyway, just outside the top 10 at 13, you got Liberian Girl from Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's an awesome tune.
14 is Bat Dance from Prince. 15 is Days, Kirsty MacColl. Patience from Guns N' Roses, that's at 19.
I thought you were going to say Take That. I was like, no, Patience was never that early.
Yeah, A New Flame, Simply Red at 20. Breakthrough Queen at 21. I Drove All Night, Cyndi Lauper at 24. Sealed with a Kiss, Jason Donovan at 30.
I Drove On, I thought that was a chap singing that.
It was covered by Roy Orbison.
So Roy Orbison covered Cyndi Lauper, or
yes,
vice versa?
I think she wrote it.
Right.
And then he recorded it, and then she released a version of it herself.
Okay.
I think. I can't guarantee that, but. So there we go. Express Yourself is at 37. Sweet Child of Mine is at 40.
What a great year to be sort of listening to the charts.
Considering a lot of it was just Stock Aitken and Waterman shite.
See, this is me at 11 years old. This is the stuff I'd have been listening to.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I get that.
And Debbie Dozy.
No, that wasn't there. I wish it was, though. We met her, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did.
We stalked her.
Yeah, we went to Stage Door after watching, what was it called? Rocking with Laughter or something?
I think it was Rocking with Laughter, yeah.
So we were the only people with that grey hair in the audience.
Yeah. And, or with hair.
Or with hair, yeah, back then. Who was it? It was Stu Francis.
Stu Francis. Someone from X Factor who didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Brotherhood of Man.
Yep, Brotherhood of Man, yeah. Oh, no, what was that?
Or was that Plymouth?
No, that was Plymouth.
Or was it Bucks Fizz? Oh, I don't know.
It was Bucks Fizz. It was definitely Bucks Fizz.
Nice.
Click, click.
Oh, yes, of course. Click, click. Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
See, yeah. We're reminiscing on New Year's Eve. That's yeah, what you do on New Year's Eve. You've got to look sit back. Down with your friends and reminisce.
Maybe not at 2020, though.
No, yeah. What a great year.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on. When Harry met Sally, then. They had an all right New Year's Eve, didn't they? A couple of all right New Year's Eves.
Yes.
This is.
New Year's Eve's this is.
Yeah.
So, initial response?
It's not a film I would rush to watch again. I didn't hate it. I actually quite enjoyed it, to be fair. It's not my cup of tea in the slightest.
I didn't, when I was watching it, I don't think you could fault how it was put together or whatever else like, but I thought it's not your bag. Is
it
that
really
the way
isn't,
it? No.
It really isn't. But like I say, I enjoy parts of it. Some of it made me laugh out loud. And I love Rob Reiner. He's one of my favourite directors. Stand By Me is in my top three films of all time. But it's purely because I'm not a big fan of chick flicks, I suppose, or it's not really my thing. And I found the whole thing a little bit smug for my liking. Billy Crystal especially.
Okay.
But I'm glad I watched it. Let's put it that way.
Good.
Yeah. And yourself?
I watched it when I was, I don't know, probably about 20, a bit earlier maybe.
Yep.
And back then I went, yeah, it's all right. I think I enjoyed it a lot more as an adult, knowing having been through complicated relationships and things like that, knowing the dynamics of where I am now in life, as opposed to being a 20-year-old kind of going, oh yeah, I'm sure it's like that, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think it's quite nice in the respect that it didn't have to be, you know, bang, bang, pacey. There weren't a load of cliches and things. It was actually a lot of just conversation. And yeah, there was a lot. I mean, I was going to say it could be a play, but it actually did get turned into a play.
It doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, I think that was one of my issues with it. It's a bit too, and now I'm going to have a monologue. And so it's a bit too speechified for my. It wasn't 100% natural, but once I sort of got used to it, it's
the style of it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. There's not much more I can say about it. I enjoyed it, bits of it. Some bits of it bored me. I loved the performances and the soundtrack.
Yeah.
What a great soundtrack. And actually, to be fair, it's, again, going back to Rob Reiner and stuff, it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
they make New York. Well, they don't show the obvious bits of New York. Let's put it that way. And I really enjoyed it.
Well, before we get too deep into it then.
Yeah, yeah.
How about, would you want me to sum it up?
Well, we'll go into it first then, shall we?
Let's go into it then.
Okay, regular listeners will know that at this point in the podcast, Matt has to give us the synopsis of the film, and he gets as many seconds as the film has minutes. And I can see by the fact he's shaking his head, he's forgotten to look again.
Every fucking week. We've been doing this 27 weeks.
27
weeks, man and boy. 27 weeks we do this. Every time I've written a synopsis, I'm chuffing myself, I'm getting myself ready. And
you're chuffing
right,
yourself.
I'm chuffed with myself.
Oh, you're chuffed with yourself.
So I'm already, I'm thinking, right, I'm going to do this. And Darren says those immortal words, and the film, oh, for God's sake, I forgot to look how long the film was. It was 1 hour and 35 minutes.
1 hour 35. So you get 1 minute 35 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Just got to write it quickly here. Okay.
Let's have the jingle. So 1 minute 35 seconds. If you're ready, begin.
Recent graduates Harry and Sally share a car ride to New York and along the way discuss many things, with Harry proclaiming that men and women can't be friends as sexy time gets in the way. Some years later, they bump into each other again at the airport and end up on the same flight. Sally's dating a friend of Harry and Harry's about to get married. A number of years go by and Harry's at a football game telling his friend Jess that he's getting divorced, and at the same time Sally's telling her friends Marie and Alice that her relationship is now over. They bump into each other at a bookstore, have dinner, and spark up the previously thought impossible friendship. They call each other, go for visits, generally support each other, discuss the finer points of relationships, such as do women fake orgasms. There is a double date matchmaking attempt where Harry is with Marie, Sally with Jess, but at the end of the night, Marie and Jess jump in a taxi. Flash forward a few months, Jess and Marie are getting married, Harry and Sally shop for a gift and bump into Harry's ex. He doesn't react well. A bit more time goes by, Harry and Sally are seeing people, but it's clear they like each other. Sally finds out her ex is getting married and Harry comforts her, leading to them having sexy time. It gets strange with them, they fight, and Sally cuts Harry out of her life. However, on New Year's Eve, Harry runs to the party that he knows Sally will be at and proclaims his love for her, and they end up together.
Nice. Okay, then, just remind us, how long was the film again?
135.
So you have 1 minute 35 seconds to sum up the movie. You did it in... I don't know why I said it like
the
that.
Movie.
The movie, Rodders. You did it in... Happy New Year. Drum roll. 1 minute 10 seconds. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very quick. Too easy. Too easy.
Yeah, there's so many orgasm jokes.
Hey! Right, I better drink them. It's a gassy brew, isn't it?
It's a gassy brew.
Ooh. I'm going to leave some of those burps in 1 week, see what happens.
It's twice as long.
Oh, it's very dry. Nice. Nice.
It's funny, isn't it? Because when you often start a film where the lead actors are playing themselves as college people as well, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that at all. And again, for me, there was evolution of character with because when you first meet Billy Crystal, yes, at the end, he's still a bit of a knob.
Just a bit.
But at the beginning, he's a real knob.
He's an absolute fucking asswipe. It's a funny one. I'm not sure how to...
Yeah, so it can't be too long because it was an hour 35. Mm. I will say the titles went on for a bit long at the beginning. I was like, come on, get on with the film.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. It's good. I love the bit with all the couples.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And some of them, just the couple that just talk over each other all the time. They're so charming, and I know they're actors.
Yeah, I was gonna say you know their real stories.
Yeah. And there was one point when one of them came on. I was like, "Who the hell is that woman? Who the hell is that woman?" And then it suddenly clicked at the end. He's one mean motherfucker.
Oh,
yeah, she's there from The Running Man. It's like, of course it is.
There we go.
But I really love that. I absolutely adored those little bits, those little interjections, and the fact that Harry and Sally end up there at the end as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to like about the film. I've got a few things that to pick out.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is, the first one, that even though it really annoyed me, I actually really liked their journey in the car at the beginning. The whole thing with them just chewing the grapes and spitting the seeds out the window was fucking really annoying me. And I think that just, it was there on purpose to make him look like an annoying prat.
Yeah.
At which he does very, very well.
Yeah, he was really arrogant, and he just came across so superior and one of those guys that's, I like to be dark, I like to be broody, I like to be cynical about the world, one of those?
Yeah.
And she's so light that it was the complete polar opposite. She's such a light character in this.
Yeah, and normally I find her really annoying in films. I just find her annoying. Mm. But in this, I really liked her, and I think she comes across really, she's a bit wet. but no, I liked her in this.
Yeah, and I like the friendships in this as well.
Yeah,
that's the nice thing.
Yeah, there's not so much of the yuppie stuff. There's a few of the 80s yuppie type characters there.
Yeah. But they're not motivated by their money or anything like that.
Exactly. Even the three girls, when they sat together, I that was another thing that I like, when they're having lunch or whatever, and they're sat together, and she's got a little flip thing.
Yes, a Rolodex, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. That's it's nice to see sort of the shoe on the other foot, rather than a bunch of guys that they say, there's my little black book, flick through, blah, 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 blah. It's a woman with her little black book, essentially. So I like that.
And I suppose in another film, it could be, the guys at the table while the girl's complaining about getting a divorce,
which we had to
flip on this as well.
Yeah, and so I really like that. And their interplay is really good and very funny. But just, I don't know, it's not for me.
Well, there we are then. But you're glad you watched it.
Have you got any moments that sort of stand out for you? Any bits you really like?
I like, there's some scenes that I just kind of went, that's clever. So it was the telephone scene where...
Yes. Oh, hang on, which one?
The second telephone scene where...
It's all four of them.
Was all four of them.
Yeah, that was my third thing that I picked out as well. I really like that one.
That's cracking, isn't it? And I think that was all done on, the same, I think.
Yeah, it's
on the same stage,
stupid, like 60 takes or something 61. To get it right. 61.
Yeah.
Wow.
61 fucking takes hell. Because they were all there. They could all. Yeah, that was very theatrical again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, you wouldn't get 61 takes on stage, so you'd have to get it bloody right then, or busk it. it was really nice, and I forgot how lovely. I mean, there's a lot with this film where. It feels at odds with each other because they didn't know Reiner and is it Nora Ephron?
Nora Ephron, yeah.
I mean, she hated the title for a start. But also, they didn't know about them getting together or not.
Oh, at the very end?
Mm.
Okay. So that was just like a late thing or late decision?
It was,
or...
it was from what I saw, a little chat with, I was going to say Zac Efron, with Nora Ephron and Rob Reiner today. And I think they were they put it in and then he actually fell in love on set.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was going through a divorce when they first started talking about it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading about that. Yeah.
And he fell in love on set. And I think that kind of maybe swayed him towards the day. But again, she said, you know, that a lot of expectation was on them. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
On them getting together.
Yeah. I think it's the right thing to do.
I'm glad they did, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they hadn't, I'm like, what the?
Yeah, why bother? What have I just watched?
It's, I suppose the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, or the end of a beautiful friendship.
Yes.
Because, you know, all the way through the second half of the film, they've got a great friendship.
They've got a lovely friendship.
So, and you are willing them to get together. Yeah, I'm glad they did.
So that was a nice thing for me. Some of the monologues I really liked.
Yeah.
You know, where they're talking. I mean, and just some of the beautiful, there's little moments, I'm sorry, I'm rabbiting. There's little moments where when they're in the store and they're shopping for the presents and stuff like that. And,
yes. Yeah,
and he's like, "Oh no, here she is," and she repeats her name on the microphone, and I'm like, "Oh no, it's mortifying."
Yeah, I did actually really like that scene.
It's a lovely scene, isn't it?
Karaoke cassette.
A karaoke. They didn't even call it karaoke.
No, yeah.
That's how early it is.
Sing machine,
like,
wasn't it?
Sing machine or something. Yes.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, that's a couple of moments. You.
Obviously, the one we have to mention is the obviously the orgasm scene.
Oh yes,
in the restaurant. It's very funny. It's still funny even now. And she, it's her reaction at the very, or her sort of after the payoff, as it were. Just, you know, carry straight on eating with a little smug look on her face. It's beautifully acted, and apparently that was done in a lot of takes as well.
Yeah, and the story behind it goes, apparently.
Yes.
That she never had demonstrated it, she suggested that she demonstrates it.
Yeah.
She also suggested that it should be somewhere public.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Billy Crystal came up with the line, "I'll have what she's having."
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like they both had either... You know, they were allowed to have a good input, or they just had their input anyway.
I think it seemed like a very collaborative process,
yes,
which is
yeah.
nice, and that comes across.
Yeah, I mean, having watched a few documentaries on things like Stand By Me and on this, I think Rob Reiner is that sort of director. He wants
ideas.
He
seems lovely.
He does, doesn't he? He's like a big old cuddly bear.
Honestly, I thought he was in this. When I said about...
Well, it's Mummy, isn't she? But
yeah, but when Harry Met Sally, I was like, I'm sure he's in this. But no.
Which one is he in? Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that's
and
such a good film.
And he's phenomenal in it.
That's such
brilliant.
A good film.
Yeah, I love that film. It's one of those films that I can see why it didn't appeal to younger me, and I can see why it doesn't appeal to me now, but I am glad I watched it.
Yeah, and do you know what? I will watch it again, definitely, because I got a lot more out of it as an adult.
Right.
I really liked the performance. And for me, I mean, we'll talk about the cast, but I've never really seen Billy Crystal as that sort of leading romantic man.
I've never really liked Billy Crystal as a...
Oh, I loved him in City Slickers.
Yeah. So I just find him... I mean, that's unfair. Not saying that I didn't really like him. That is very unfair. I didn't mean that. But as an actor, I don't like to watch him. I don't enjoy his films that much, so I don't go out my
way. Is it like a Steve Martin thing you got?
No, I like Billy Crystal more than I like Steve
Martin.
Right,
okay then. Just
yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of great moments, and that's it. The film is a series of these moments.
Again, like we've done for the last few weeks, talked about that there just seem to be snippets of lives, and this, I guess, you know, with the time scale, even more so.
Yeah.
Rather than just a massive through line.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I don't know. There was a lot to like about this. But the thing is, for me, with a piece like this, there's not a lot for us to talk about up front.
No.
I think up front, just chatting about the film as a whole, there's not a lot to talk about. There's no big explosions or set effects,
exactly.
Whatever
there's
else.
There's no set pieces. There's no...
Actually, I think... Yeah,
soaring death scenes.
No. I think the more conversation we're probably going to get out is about the characters.
Yes.
And about the actors themselves. So I think, unless you've got anything else.
No.
How about we take a quick break, come back, and we'll look at the cast.
Fantastic.
This month's special Patreon episode is available now.
This month we are looking at our top 5 80s Christmas songs.
A difficult choice, though. A really difficult choice.
In the sleigh.
Sorry, in the sleigh.
When in doubt, ask the wife.
Yeah, exactly. See, again, this one is not really a Christmas song, but I think it was Christmas.
I don't think you've looked at the brief, have you? If I was to tell you A Child is a King.
Yeah.
And The Carolers Sing.
Yeah.
The Old is Past. There's it's a new beginning.
Shaking Stevens.
No. No. No, yes, I've gone for Mistletoe and Wine by the lovely Cliff Richard.
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing.
And just, I mean, it's just such a joy. I mean, even though it's the subject matter is so bleak.
It is, it is.
It's such an upbeat song, you know, like da 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 da.
Proper good old Irish jig.
Yeah, yeah, there it is. Yeah, takes me back to my roots.
Easton,
it's Christmas all over the world.
Is it really?
Yeah. As I was going, I kicked myself. I thought, I can't believe I've forgotten about this. Yeah. Because it's a song that we've played throughout quite a bit of love, actually, haven't we?
That's not 80s.
No, it's not.
Bastard. Good choice of song, though. It's fucked up my number two choice.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Shaking Stevens, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Nice.
What a tune. Snow is falling, snow is falling.
Of course, it's,
optimism.
Once it starts going, you're like, yeah.
It takes a while to kick in, but I love it. I absolutely love it. The game will never be over
because we're keeping the dream alive. Merry Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas. Until next time, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy.
All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. Part two tonight of our look at When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally.
What's that little voice he does in the
I've seen it once
in the museum.
Oh, the accent.
Yeah. Talk like this or something.
Yeah. Yak Shemesh or something. I don't know. He goes on about pecan pie, doesn't he?
Pecan pie, pecan.
You'd never get away with that now.
No, he was. That was a nice moment. Them connecting, though, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean,
and you could see her looking off camera. And
didn't he say something unexpected or?
Yeah, and she looked off camera. Rob Ryan's like, "Go with it,
with it." Yeah,
I think there's a lot of ad lib in this.
Yeah, and they seem to work together very, very well.
It does come across, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So before we get into the casting, I do have some alternate casting for you, Darren.
Ooh, lovely old job.
So for the role of Harry, apparently Tom Hanks turned it down.
Yeah, there was a reason, wasn't there?
Thought it was too lightweight.
Right, okay.
It's a shame, though, because I think those two have got great chemistry, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, again, what do they do? Sleepless in Seattle.
And You've Got Mail, yeah.
And I've never seen those.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Never seen it.
Oh, that's cracking. I think it might be 1990, though. Right. Michael Keaton, Bill Murray, Jeff Bridges and Harrison Ford.
Bill Murray?
Mm.
No.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're too old. Just too old and craggy. Can you imagine him trying to play a... I mean, it's bad enough when in Scrooged, when he's trying to play his younger self in the late 60s. He looks old. Sorry, Bill, if you're listening.
What Bill Murray does on a Sunday night. He downloads Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure going, why haven't they done it in my films yet?
You say that, but Sergeant Slaughter does.
Well, he
does.
Tweety-dis.
Tweety-dee-dee.
Tweety-dee-dee. All right, and Albert Brooks turned down the role of Harry as well.
Who's Albert Brooks?
Do you know what? Him and Billy Crystal, they remind me of each other a little bit. He's been around the block. I could see him
in that. Hush.
I can see him in that
sort of... slag.
I'm calling him a slag. No, I can see him sort of in that sort of role. Yeah, he's...
I don't know who he is.
I remember in a film with Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep. And in the film, they both die. And
brilliant.
It's like,
No.
Is in... And that's the premise of the film. They're in this place in between heaven and hell.
Oh.
And they fall in love.
Okay.
Actually, just Google him. Much easier than me trying to explain who he is.
Oh, actually, yes. Yes, he does look like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this film in Purgatory, then. Well, what's that called?
Don't know. You're on his IMDb.
Oh, no. I did a Google search of his image.
Oh.
Yeah, he does look. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll talk about the...
Yeah.
If you know the film that is where he's set in purgatory, then please.
Really happy film where they all die.
No. It's actually... it's called something like... No, Defending Your Life. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's got to
plead his case in order to go on to the in the good place, essentially.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Off the point.
Yeah, God damn it.
Susan Day from LA Law was up for playing Sally. Okay. I don't know who that is.
I remember LA Law, but I don't remember much about it.
Rob Reiner also considered Elizabeth Perkins.
Okay.
That would have been nice. Elizabeth McGovern.
Okay.
And Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, obvious, but yeah.
Well.
Well,
you say that. So, in 2004,
yes,
this film got turned into a play,
yeah,
in the West End, mm-hmm. Quite unpopular apparently. So, Luke Perry, God rest his soul, and Alison Hannigan from
Buffy
and How I Met Your Mother, they played Harry and Sally.
Your mother.
It's called How I Met Your Mother. You never heard it? Come on.
I just haven't mentioned your mum for a while.
Anyway, so they were replaced later by Michael Landis and Molly Ringwald.
Michael Landis?
No, Michael Landes.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe he was in New Adventures of Superman.
Nude
Adventures of Superman. But yeah, so Molly Ringwald did actually get to play Sally.
Okay.
So there we go. Those are the alternate castings I have for you.
Okay then. I would have preferred to have seen Tom Hanks, I think.
that's all you took from that?
Yep.
Rather than Tom Hanks, if I'm honest.
Yeah. No, Billy Crystal's fine. He's a good actor.
Yeah, this guy. Let's go straight in with Harry.
Yeah, I find him a better comedian, I have to be honest, than an actor. But yeah, he does a great job in this. I can't take anything away from that. It's just, he's not my cup of tea. That's the problem. I find him quite annoying. There's something about him. The minute I see him on screen, I'm a little bit on edge. I'm a little bit wound up already. And I don't know what it is. It's completely irrational.
Jealousy.
He's got more hair than me. I don't know.
I don't know. He's in his 70s now, so.
Yeah. Or that he just gets to bed Meg Ryan.
He does do that. What I like about this performance, as I think we mentioned in the last section, is that it grows. You know, he does start off of not... Yes, he's never changed completely, but he softens with age.
Yeah, there is a definite character development. And I think it's because he basically emotionally gets the shit kicked out of him rather than just being this cocky little... Shag muffin all the time.
Shag muffin.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know what it means. But at the start, he's this cocky fuckwit who thinks he can bed anything that moves, and basically the tables get turned. So yeah, I mean that's the character development, and that does work really well, and he's really good in this. He's just not my cup of tea as a turn. It's that. Really.
I think maybe I've got a bit of an affinity for him because I loved City Slickers when I was growing up.
You should have mentioned it.
Yeah, City Slickers with Jack Palance. Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I just, although not your obvious choice for me to play Harry, it's more of, as you say, a Tom Hanks sort of role.
Yeah.
Even Harrison Ford, someone like that, you know, who would have been equally as pissed off and grumpy as Harrison Ford can play very well.
Yeah. I mean, I love Harrison Ford for all his apparent faults. But no, I can't really see him in this. Because there does need to be that light touch at times. Some of the comedy is, I don't know, I can't really see him doing... I don't know. I can't see it myself, but okay.
But yeah, I think he did a fine job, and there's definite chemistry with those two. They seem to all have worked together as a troupe, as an acting troupe, and that's nice.
Yeah, I mean the as it turns out, sort of the four or five main characters work really well as a company, and I really like that. Although I can't look at Carrie Fisher without just thinking. I think I probably would have preferred to have seen Jamie Lee Curtis.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, there's something about them I think is very interchangeable.
Is it the short hair?
It could be the short hair.
Right.
I don't know. I just think maybe Jamie Lee Curtis would have brought something more to it. That's sort of more spunky, sort of spiky, funny. Like she is in Trading Places.
I'm not taking anything
away from what Carrie Fisher does at all, because she's brilliant in this film.
She's really good, isn't she? I love that desperate character. She's just so desperate to find love. Where she's got, as you say, a Rolodex of people. Like, he's married. And the fact when he's married, what does she do? Turn the corner down. Not throw it out. No, turn the corner down. Okay, so he's gone for now.
Yeah. And the bit with the wheel,
the table, yes.
I just think Jamie Lee Curtis would have maybe done it slightly different, and I don't know. But it's a very, it's, I think Carrie Fisher's great.
She is great. I mean, and I've seen her in a few things. I mean, of course she's known for Star Wars. Yeah. And it was so nice to see her in a role that isn't in a galaxy far, far away. You know, it was really nice to see. And it was so nice to see, I don't know, who played this woman that's just, all she wants to do is be loved, you know? And then you knew the double date was going to go wrong. And then when you saw that connection with her and Jess, you were like, that's nice.
Dawn of Jess, I really liked him. Again, another Pillock. I mean, I remember him from Good Morning Vietnam.
Right.
And the minute he came on screen, I looked at Sez. And Sez loves this film. She's seen it so many times. She was pretty much quoting it when it started.
I could do with her for the quiz, actually.
Oh, God. No. I could do with her for the quiz. So the minute he came on screen, it was like, and if you do.
Right,
okay. You've never seen Good Morning Vietnam, have you?
I've seen it years ago, that has to go on the list.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But Bruno Kirby, I love him, I think he's great.
He was really great. But actually, with that, I mean, quickly, without getting too morose, I'd like to raise a glass to Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher, because, you know,
bless
them.
Has Bruno Kirby gone?
Yeah, in 2006.
Oh, shit, I didn't realise.
He was at 57, man.
Oh, that's sad.
It is. Do you know what else he was in?
Go on.
City Slickers.
Oh, fuck off with your City Slickers, will you?
Just saying.
Your slippy knickers.
But I think they played a great part. It's that bit when he's talking to Meg Ryan and she's saying, oh, no, I don't care for this. And he's like, well, it's only the reason back came a writer, but, you know, that's fine. It's all right, you know. it's that petulant writer sort of thing. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, it's the only reason I became, yeah, but fine, you know, whatever.
Can't take crits at all. But then none of us like getting criticism. But no. He is very petulant.
He is a little bit.
And a bit of a dick. But he does, you know, when him and Marie get together, I do like that.
I thought they were going to make something more of the other friends, you know, because there's three of them out for dinner. And then she's never really.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, I don't know if there was maybe more, but cut. I don't know. But, she didn't really do much.
No. I thought Marie and Jess had a lovely little relationship.
Yeah. And they are really sweet together when they get. And oh my God, his dress sense is fucking awful. His taste. Oh, I mean, forget the table. Those fucking shorts and socks. I'm in my slobbers tonight. You can fuck off.
So just because
I can't go out for New Year's Eve, I'm going to just sit at home and slob around.
It's not a visual
in a
medium.
With fucking holes in.
He's got a t-shirt with holes and sweatpants on. You know, I've dressed up for New Year's Eve. You know, I'm here in my finest jeans and T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
And nipple rings.
Huh?
So,
I've put me Prince Albert. What? Huh? I'll just pop that away. I really like their relationship. They're very good.
I mean, I suppose the others are fairly supporting. You know, you get... But we haven't talked about Meg yet.
Of course, yeah. She's great in this film.
By great, do you mean that you really fancy her in this
yes,
film? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just reading between the lines there.
She's so sexy in this film.
She is amazingly sexy.
But she's not some sort of femme fatale or anything like that. She's just a regular person. But there's something about her in this film that is just, she's very sexual. I mean, forget the orgasm scene. Mm-hmm. Just her and herself.
I cannot, Darren. I cannot.
But she's great, and I just find her very, very attractive, very sexy in this film. And you can label me a sexist if you like. I don't give a fuck. I don't mean it like that. There's just something very attractive about it.
Well, no, but
film.
That's the whole thing. At the beginning, he turns around and says, you're very attractive. Mm. Objectively, you're attractive.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't say that. He's like, well, why not? I think that you are attractive.
Yeah.
And that is it.
And I agree with him.
So, what was it? I saw a bit of trivia earlier. Hang on. Her hair is styled after Farrah Fawcett from Charlie's Angels at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it for me.
But you can see it when she's driving up.
Now you've mentioned it, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
You can see that, yeah, she's... and she is just... She's so positive and so... And that's it. You've got the cynic on one side that is kind of going... You know, it's a bit like me and you. You know.
I resemble that remark.
So you got the cynic on one side, you know, and then you got her being the ray of light. And he's saying to her, look, for sometimes just feel like shit, honestly. And she's saying, look, sometimes just try and be happy, you know. And I think they really are just two people.
Which is bizarre when you think about what happened with the Parky interview that she was on. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh, she's fucking horrendous.
Oh, is she?
She's awful in it. She literally just sits there giving monosyllabic answers. And you know how great Parky is as an interviewer. He's giving it blah, 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 blah. She's going,
Oh, that's a shame. I didn't... Oh.
And at one point, I think he turns around and says, don't think this interview's going very well, is it? She went, no. She's awful.
You're
She's
joking.
Horrible. She comes across as a real moody little man.
And has that influenced? That influence you while you were watching this?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't have a go at the great Lord Parky.
That is funny, though, isn't it? Because as performers ourselves, we, you know, I try and be objective no matter what I think of a person. I just look at the performance.
Yeah.
You know, but he's, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Bizarre.
It's like we're talking about.
We'll have a watch of it later. So,
we were talking about this with about Chevy Chase. That influenced how I felt about him while watching Lampoon. Yeah,
it's a shame, and I don't get it. It's everyone has an off day, I suppose. But if you're there to publicise a book or a film or something, at least act.
Oh, that's a shame.
But yeah, she comes across as a petulant little mare.
Oh, No, that's gutting because I was going to give her a call and see what she was doing New Year's Eve. But okay, I won't.
You free
after
New Year's
that.
Eve? Yeah.
What are you doing New Year's?
Nothing.
New Year's Eve.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
I wonder who covered that.
But it wasn't on the soundtrack. Oh, we'll get to that.
Well, no, I mean, this is years before that album came out.
Right, okay. Well, then we'll talk about that later.
Who are we talking about, listeners?
Doom, 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 doo, doo,
doo, doo, doo, doo.
Is there anyone else we need to really go into on the cut? I don't think there is, if I'm honest.
I guess we have to mention somebody's mother.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who is credited with having the funniest line in a film ever. The number one funniest line in a film.
And it's
apparently
gone down in like some sort of hall of fame as well, isn't
the
it? Like, memorable quotes and stuff.
Yeah. Like I say, about, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years after the film was released, there was a survey of the funniest punchline or the funniest line in the film. And she got the line, "I'll have what she's having." That's the number one. That's great. Apparently suggested by Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, I'm sure everyone does, it's Rob Reiner's mother.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Really, really good. Again, that's what I say. He's a very, very good comedian.
He was saying today, not to me today.
Oh, yeah, you had a little word with him.
Yeah, I rang up Rob today. I said, look, Rob, we're doing a podcast tonight. We can't have you on. But they were saying, like, he got his mother there and he said, look, the chances are this might end up on the cutting room floor, blah, blah. He didn't want to raise her expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he's like, she's done better out of that line than I ever did. Another cute story, by the way.
Go on, him.
They were saying that at the Royal Premiere over here.
Yes, what?
So they were watching it and Billy Crystal sat next to Princess Diana.
Nice.
And I think it was the whole orgasm scene and she laughed and stuff. And then she leaned across to Billy Crystal and Nora
Ephron
was saying, she wondered what she was saying. Apparently she said to Billy Crystal, I did find that a lot funnier, but people are watching, so I've got to be... So apparently she found it really funny and ordered it to go to Buckingham Palace later on so she could watch it with her friends.
Nice. But again, I guess it's that sort of, what were they called? The Sloan Rangers. This sort of film would have really appealed to the Sloan Ranger woman, the Sloan Rangers in the late 80s.
What is a Sloan Ranger? What?
You don't know what a Sloan Ranger is?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. A late 80s thing. Basically, the equivalent, a female equivalent of a yuppie was the Sloan Ranger. So I think you had like the barber jacket and the neck scarf. They even had a handbook, How to Be a Sloan Ranger, something like that.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it was, and the pin-up girl for Sloan Rangers was Princess Di.
Well, listen, folks at home, if you know what... Have you heard the expression Sloan Ranger? If so, get in touch, either on Facebook or send us a message on 80sadventure.com. Just get in touch. Have you heard of Sloan Ranger? Because I've never heard that.
Wow, I thought, okay, interesting.
Very interesting.
That's two things we've got to look at later then.
Yeah. Also, though, on that, I know we've gone off on a bit of a twaffle.
Yeah.
But I'd be really interested, because I don't think I've ever seen this, which is, it's Working Girl, and that is, it's Melanie Griffith, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe, and Harrison Ford. I wouldn't mind watching that. So on the whole 80s yuppie sort of thing,
I believe it's on the list, isn't it?
It is on the list, but I know it's one we keep kind of going past. But I know
we've only done 27.
We've only done 27.
We've got a whole decade's worth of films to do.
Yes, folks. If you are joining us in 2042, this is one of the old episodes.
Yeah, good, nice to see you.
During COVID.
Oh, my God, COVID. Yeah, I remember that. Went on for 5 years. No one was expecting that.
Oh, no.
Oh!
If it carries on next year, let's do 2 episodes a week. I need more booze.
Okay.
Right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the freaking amazing music.
It's all right.
Bit of pub quiz and what film is going to be first of 2021. What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back.
Yes, we are for the final part. I think, actually, as a little thing, from now for next year, maybe you should take the first line after the "and we're back," just to switch it up.
All right then.
Yeah, should we do that?
Sure.
I'm fucking getting bored of the sound of my own voice, if I'm honest. God knows what the listeners are thinking.
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it.
Do 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 do.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that just took me back to the end of the war song in Iron Man.
Nothing quite like a McDonald's. I don't know why we're going there. It's New Year's Eve. We can talk about anything we like, Darren.
Exactamundos. So, yes, we're back for the final part tonight of our New Year special.
Yes.
When Harry met Sally. Music then, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Poor, isn't it? it's no John Parr.
Imagine John Parr doing this film.
Actually, no, that's unfair.
No, I love John Parr, but there's a certain film that requires...
This isn't it.
This is certainly not it. Imagine Billy Crystal running at the end like, you can see your new horizon.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that. Actually, that would work.
Probably would, actually.
Let's not. Anyway, yes, Karen. So, yeah, music. I'm going to make it all about me now.
All right.
This plays...
I'll be back in half an hour.
I've not got much to say, but this plays right into to my lap. This is the sort of music I fucking adore. Anyone that knows me, not many people, but obviously you do.
I do, definitely.
And I know you as well. The swing, big band stuff. Oh, it's just, it's something else, isn't it? And this soundtrack is phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah, no, so who actually, let's get this straight, who is responsible for the soundtrack? Is he, I mean, he didn't...
No, actually, I was going into this, I was expecting a complete just score of Harry Connick Jr. It's actually, it's quite weird, the fact is, it's actually not that much.
But didn't he, not arrange it, but, well, did he? What was his role?
He worked with an arranger as well on a lot of the main songs, but there's so many tunes there from just other people and made them their own. And I can't remember who he worked with. It was basically all arranged by Mark Shaman along with Harry Connick Jr.
Now, he features in it as well, doesn't he?
Harry?
Not in the film, but yeah, there's quite a few songs of his.
Oh,
in
my God, yes. Yeah.
But interestingly, he's got, from what I recall, I could be wrong, the video for It Had to Be You,
yes,
has got bits of this film in it, I'm sure.
I remember, without finishing the film, I remember seeing the bit where it's the two of them stood in, it's like the park with all the red leaves, the autumn leaves.
Yes, yeah.
Falling off the trees, all on the ground. So, yeah, I guess so. I've not seen the video of this for It Had to Be You for a long time.
Mm.
But that's a real...
It's an indelible
image in my brain.
But interestingly, he didn't sing it in the film.
No, but him and his trio play it, versions of it, throughout the film.
They do.
I
like that because, it's the incidental music, isn't it? And there's something very Woody Allen about that as well.
Yeah.
The whole film
is very Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Again, which is probably why I'm not a big fan.
Oh, you see, I've got into Woody Allen over the last 10 years.
We'll do Woody Allen, I'm sure, at some point. I don't get it. I have to be honest, I don't get it. But that's for another time. there's so many top tunes in this film. It's just, it's hard to know where to start. We just list all the songs.
What's the first New Year's Eve one? What's the first New Year's Eve one they're dancing to?
I've seen it once, basically. Well, I can give you a list of all the tracks that are in it and who wrote it. Yeah, Our Love Is Here to Stay by George and Ira Gershwin. That's performed in the film by Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. Don't Pull Your Love, It's Not What I'm Familiar With, by Brian Potter and Dennis Lambert. Rambling Man by Dickie Betts. Right Time of the Night. Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. Again, George and Ira Gershwin. What a tune that is. Where or When. Ladies' Lunch. That was written specifically for the film. That was a Mark Shaiman thing.
Yeah.
But Not For Me, George and Ira Gershwin.
Oh, is that
Gershwin.
A Guessing When they're going through the
rule? Yeah, that Ladies' Through Lunch. And there's this stuff from Casablanca. Autumn in New York, Winter Wonderland's in there as well, which is
gorgeous.
I Could Write a Book, Rodgers and Hart. Obviously, they sing Sorry with the Fringe on top.
Yes, they do.
Hammerstein, Oklahoma.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I had to learn that in case you asked me that in quiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is a sorry?
Hmm?
What's a sorry?
Isn't it a car or something like that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's it.
What's that?
It's I Could Write a Book.
Yeah.
Like, if they ask me, I think so. Wasn't it nice though? We've just had Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, we're slightly recording this before Christmas, and it's going out New Year's, well, near New Year's. So we thought, we finished our Christmas film, so it was nice to get a pang of Christmas back into our films.
It was. Matt tried to convince me that this was a New Year film, and then when I watched it, it's tenuous.
It's tenuous, but find me another 80s film that's New Year's Eve. There's two New Year's Eves in this.
Two?
Fucking two.
You have no idea what he's just done to me. It's so fucking rude. But we mentioned New Year, so obviously Auld Lang Syne is in there.
Mm. What does that mean?
Exactly. That is a good thing. But, without being able to dig up Robbie Burns and talk to him and ask him, who the fuck knows? But we all sing it anyway.
That's the nice thing. I love that whole thing. They've had their, like, profession of love, and then it's like, what does this song even mean?
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? At least it's about old friends. And I thought that was a really nice way to end a film, that old friends who fell in love.
It is a really sweet ending.
Yeah. And it's not your typical, you got the running.
Yeah. So, for me, that just flipping back into...
Yeah, yeah, the, why not? That's
part one, that whole thing sort of came around a bit too quick for me. I think there should have been more of a montage.
Montage.
To see his internal torment, if you like. His argument with himself for and against, and then decide for. Mm. I don't think there was enough of that. But
I've had a few here now, so I'm going to say... Do you think he would have come around and said that to her if she hadn't cold-shouldered him completely?
It's a good question.
If she'd have just indulged him
monsieur is a very good question.
Well, do you know what I mean? If she'd indulged him and kind of, I'll go to the party with you, or yeah, okay, we realise it was a mistake, would they just have stayed as friends? But actually, the fact she went, you know what, fuck you, get away.
Yeah.
Is that the reason he kind of took stock of his life and went, actually, I'm letting a really good thing get away here? So there
Maybe.
You go.
Yeah.
Don't know. It's the booze talking now.
It's a good point.
I knew Prosecco was a bad idea.
It was your choice. It was your choice. What does that even mean?
Should old acquaintance be forgot? I
never brought to mind.
Yeah.
Should old acquaintance
be... So should they be forgotten and never thought
about?
For the
sake of Auld Lang Syne.
What is Auld Lang Syne, though?
I think he just made up words, didn't he?
It did get translated by Cliff Richard. It went, Father, who art
you? Stop now. We're not doing that sort of podcast. Actually, just looking through the little list, you've got a bit of Tony Hatch there as well.
Have you?
In the film. You must know who Tony Hatch is.
Yes, it's Tony Brackett's brother. Who's Tony Hatch?
Tony Hatch? Neighbours.
No.
Yeah. He used to sing with his wife, I think, or wrote songs for his wife.
About Neighbours.
And Crossroads, as far as I remember.
So he's the soap guy?
I don't know. I now cannot access anything. I don't know if the old Virgin's playing up a bit.
No, it's only because you use Apple, so I'll have a look for you.
Oh, what a cunt.
Tony Hatch. English.
English composer.
Yep. Composer.
Composer. Yes.
Pecan pie.
What was she called? Hatch and... Not Hatch and Snatch. Oh.
Did you just laugh and fart?
No. Oh, God. Is this what the fucking New Year's of 46 year old has? Oh, God.
I just heard you laugh and fart.
Shut up. It didn't happen.
No, he's a lady. Oh, my God.
God, if this is 46, what's 50 going to be like? I'll be sitting in the corner shitting my pants.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, he did. He did. He did Crossroads.
Yes. Him and Jackie Trent worked a lot together. Oh, I'm out of here.
Oh, thank you, folks. This has been Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure. Happy New Year.
I'm fed up with this. Anyway.
He did Emmerdale Farm.
Do-do-do-do.
Why are we talking about this guy for so long? It's about Neighbours.
He just cropped up. He's got a track in When Harry Met Sally. And then I pooped myself.
There we are. If there was ever any doubt, folks, as to whether we do have a beer during this recording.
Oh, I'm fucking mullered. So, I guess we have to talk about Harry.
Yeah.
We've mentioned him a lot. And I love Harry Connick Jr. He is one of my heroes. The guy is just phenomenal. He's so talented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of jazz singers out there. There's a lot of swing singers. There's a lot of people that they're pretenders to the crown, if you like. And I like a few of them. I like Bublé.
I do, to be fair. I'm not going to come shit on Bublé because of I love Harry. But
Harry is a proper musician. Nothing can take that away from Harry. Harry, legendarily, I don't know if this is still the case, but when he's recording an album, rather than record the band separately and then record his vocal over the top of the recording of the band, he will record with the band. So if they fuck up, they start again. So it's all recorded as one, and I love that. And also, he will write the arrangement, he will write the orchestration, he will play lots of the instruments on the actual track. The guy's phenomenal. He's a proper pucker musician.
He is. You introduced me to Harry, and funny, when we all met Harry.
Yeah, nice, there we are. Nice.
And he is just, he's a phenomenal musician. I love the fact that he doesn't just sing, he just does everything. I mean, I remember watching that video, you showed me a video once, where he was doing a song and he then went around.
It's from the New York Big Band concert.
And he played all the instruments as he was going.
He's an annoying little fucker, isn't he? He's so talented.
What was his first album called?
Well, it's his very first album.
Wasn't it something ridiculous?
Well, no,
because he invented the invented the now, like
forget Adele.
Yeah.
She pinched the idea of her age for the album.
Yeah.
He did it first. And I think his first one was called 10.
Right.
I've got it. It's on a CD somewhere packed away because obviously, CDs are old hat now, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's 10. It's either 8 or 10, but I think it's 10. And it's literally just him on a piano. And then it's like another one at 14 and at 18, at 20, 25, 30.
Yeah. I've got 30. I think 30 was my first album.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's just fun. And just a multi-instrumentalist. A guy that knows exactly what... He grew up in New Orleans. So he's just immersed in that culture, that musicianship.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yep.
Your favourite Harry Connick Jr. album?
Ooh... See, that's hard. That's really hard because there's so many songs. There's so many tracks. I mean, he goes off on when you look at things like Star Turtle. Completely.
Yes,
started,
yeah. That was so just different because that was when I first started listening. That was one of the ones I heard relatively soon into listening.
Yeah, and it's completely different to all the others. It's like a funk album. I don't know. I think it would have to be. I mean, I love Blue Light, Red Light.
Yep, or Red Light, Blue Light.
Red Light. Is it?
I don't know.
It's Blue Light, Red Light. I love Songs I Heard.
Songs I Heard is phenomenal. Honestly, folks, if you haven't heard these, check them out.
Honestly, just track them down.
Songs I Heard is essentially songs that he heard growing up. So it's got things like Oompa Loompa and Lonely Goat Herder. And it's cracking, man. His song, Pure Imagination, is
superb. And I mean... I just wish we could do Willy Wonka because behave yourself. Because it's one of those. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you mine. Because if you say the same as me, it's going to look like I'm copying you.
Right.
I think mine is We Are in Love.
See, instantly, my first thought would be We Are in Love because it's got Recipe for Love. It's got, what's the first track on it called? My mind's gone blank. I know you. so well. I can tell by the sound of your voice that you're really in love with me.
She's got that on it. That's great.
We are in love.
What a mistake.
We are in love. It's got that song in it. Hang on. How does it start? It goes, I know you.
What's with that film? The snowman.
Yeah, what's the film with the snow?
The Christmas. What a dick.
Kiss Me?
Kiss Me. Nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. Drifting. I see your eyes drift. But I'd have to go, just because it's sort of that time of year when my heart finds Christmas.
Oh,
it's
beautiful.
It's a phenomenal album, and I was so pleased last year to be able to get it on vinyl. It wasn't released anywhere in the world, apparently. Apart from in the Netherlands.
I see, I got it on record as well.
Tossor.
No, I don't. I've got it downloaded. But
that for me is just, it's one of my favourite Christmas albums. It's up there with Christmas with Nat and Dean.
Nice. I might revisit that.
It is a beautiful album.
We've gone off on a deep one about Harry, haven't we?
But it was always going to happen. Like, yes, say, Harry was. And I know it's the same for you. He's one of my fucking heroes. And I was so lucky last year, to 2019, I think it was October last year, I was lucky enough to be able to see him at the Palladium in London. And my God, he's so charismatic. You know, he sat there playing on the grand piano, and then he'll go across and just play the trumpet, take someone's trombone. He'll go and nick the drumsticks off someone and have a little go. There was a point where Rich, who was my best man, my best friend from school, I was sat in one seat, Sez was sat next to me, Rich was sat next to Sez.
When you could all sit in seats together.
Exactly, yeah. Rich leaned across to Sez and went, he's a fucking good-looking bastard, isn't he? And he really is. He's got a beautiful voice. He's got this aura about him. I love him.
I had to ask my mother whether me and him were separated at birth, because, you know, I just kind of thought, you know, we look similar, we sound similar when we sing.
Your mum? Huh?
I meant to say to you, though, your mum's Christmas decorations are looking amazing.
You've been around my mum's house?
No, I drove past it.
Okay.
Slowed down. I'm not kidding. I almost took a photo.
Did you?
Yeah, I drove past and I thought, I think, will Darren find this funny if I stop and take a photo of his mother's window?
I wouldn't have found it funny if it was from inside.
What? No, not from
inside. Not inside my mum.
If I'd have sent it at like 6 o'clock in the morning, like, I've been sat here all night.
I'm still waiting.
Oh, well, guys, can you tell the Prosecco has kicked in for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact we're like 67 minutes into this part.
You're joking.
No, we're not.
I thought we were for a second.
26 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, that's pretty much the...
The music has been discussed. And if you haven't heard Harry, then please go and seek him out. Because honestly...
If you haven't heard Harry, where the fuck have you been?
If you do like, you know, people like Bublé and you like a bit of old swing, things like that, this is it's like that, but clever. Well, I tell you what we're going to do, folks. We've definitely covered the music in this.
Yes.
We're going to move into pub quiz. So you ready for it?
No, because you're going to whoop my ass after last week.
Do you know what? Doesn't matter. It's New Year's. Whoever wins, doesn't matter.
Let's do it. Eyes down for a full house. So, episode 27. That's right, isn't it?
Yes. Now, I was originally going to be odd.
Yeah.
You were going to be even.
Yes. And then we sort of
flipped.
But then we flipped.
Yeah. So I think...
So it's back to you being first then.
I went first last week, did I not?
Because I went, yeah. I think we should go back to the odd thing.
All right. Okay, then. Okay, let's go back to the odd even thing. So the score as it stands, Darren, please.
4-2 with a little bit of a bit of a conflab.
Well, yeah. I mean, so I thought about this week, like heavily. No, not really.
What'd you call me?
Heavily. Okay, granted, you know, there's a van behind. At least I could identify it was the 18 van, not knowing the make.
I asked for the make.
But who watches that film and goes, oh, it's that.
That's what we do here.
Oh, no, this is what we progress to. We start, right, if you go back to like episode one, I'm assuming we were a lot easier on each other, weren't we?
You've always been quite easy.
I'm going back to take photographs of your mum's house.
Not from inside.
All right then, Darren. So question number one for you this week.
Yeah.
I know what you like. You like me to ask question one so you can sort of judge how harsh you can be.
It'd be my question one next week. Mm-hmm. Whatever film that's going to be.
Whatever film. Okay. See, I studied this film a little bit because I thought I had to do my homework.
Okay.
I had to do my homework. So I'm going to... I think this is a relatively easy question.
Right.
What is the full name of Harry's wife? Because she's keeping her name.
Well, Helen. His first wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, not Sally.
Well, it's Helen. Oh, fuck.
Because he says she's keeping her name.
Helen,
she's keeping her name.
I don't know.
It was close, but he said her name is Helen Hills and she's keeping her name.
Make a little list there.
They make a little list. This is going to go so bad as well because you've just heard our Harry Connick Jr. rant. We've never gone off that much about a musician before, have we?
But, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to, I suppose. Right, okay, question one from me then.
Yes.
Including Harry and Sally, how many couple stories... So how many couples are there in the film? Yeah, you know this.
No, I don't know this, okay. But when I was watching it a bit before tonight, I went, he's going to ask me how many couples... I went, no, he's not going to do that. I can guess, and I think I'll be relatively close.
Right.
I think it's between 5 and 6, so I'm going to go 5.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
7.
No, is it?
Including Harry and Sally, it's 7. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. That's... See, no, I like that. That was a good question, man.
Okay.
Fuck, man. Yeah, I should have counted that. Because they were sweet stories.
Oh, they're great. They're really good.
I thought you were going to go harsher, like, how many floors did that guy travel up to be with that lady? I was like... Okay, learn the fact it's 9 floors. 9.
Just cross that
Is it one really?
Off. No, it's not.
See, now you've been nice to this. I'm trying to find a nice question. Okay, name one of the two guys that Marie tries to set Sally up with. And I will take first names.
Bob.
There was either Alex or Ken. Yeah. I had no idea.
Nope. Okay, that's 2 to you, 1 to me. The second time Harry re-meets Sally...
Yeah.
...is in a bookshop.
Yes.
In what section is he lurking?
Personal development. No.
Oh, you're half right.
Personal something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Personal... No.
I tell you what. After last week, I'm going to give you that.
Really?
It's personal growth. Oh, which is, it's the same thing.
Oh, thank you, Darren. That's really nice of you.
The one and only time I'll be nice. So it's 3-1. It's 3-1 to you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be nice too then.
Well, you say that. I've seen this film once. I'm fucked, basically.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You'll be fine. In the story that Harry tells to Jess, what is on the T-shirt that the guy comes to pick up when they come to pick up the furniture? It starts with don't. He was wearing a T-shirt that said...
I don't even remember the scene, if I'm honest.
So they're I'm going to paint the picture. So they're sat at the football game. So and they're doing the Mexican waves and stuff.
Oh, yes.
He's saying,
yes,
right,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
So then this guy came up to pick up my stuff.
And he
had a T-shirt. And on the T-shirt it said, blah, 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 blah. And then they referenced it throughout the whole thing. So it said...
No, I have absolutely no idea.
Don't fuck with Mr. Zero.
Okay. Yeah, so, not in a million years.
Do you know what? And the funny thing was, I was watching a TV show this week that came out, and it had that T-shirt, and it "Don't fuck with Mr. Zero" in reference to this film.
Okay.
I was like, "Oh my god, that's so serendipitous!"
Yeah, well, what you said. Okay, well, you've won this week, which I thought you would. Do you want a quote?
I would love a quote.
Okay, third question, as always, for me is a quote. So it's from Sally.
Yep.
She says, "You see, that is just like you, Harry. You say things like that."
This is at the end of the film. It's the New Year's Eve. "That's just like you, Harry. You say things like that, and it makes me impossible. It makes it impossible for me to hate you, but I do, Harry. I hate you. I hate you."
Bang on. And you make it impossible for me to hate you.
Yes, man.
Get on. 5-1. That's pretty much a whitewash. Yeah, well done.
Thanks, man.
That's okay. I'm going to fucking have to whoop your ass next week, though.
Do you know how much I studied for tonight?
Exactly.
So, no. So, some of the things I studied.
Right.
The fucking car they drove.
Yeah, nice.
The car they drove. And do you know how much internet research I did? I thought, well, Darren's going to do that. Do you know what car they drove down in?
A beige station wagon.
No, it was a Toyota Corona wagon.
Oh, well, obviously.
The 1975 model.
Oh, with the extra doodads, yes.
Yeah, right. How much does Sally have to pay at the beginning in the restaurant? $7. Where does Sally drop Harry in New York?
New York.
Whereabouts, though? The monument?
I've no idea what the monument is. I don't
Washington
think I've ever
Square Arch.
I never think I've ever seen it.
Right, okay. So I was doing my homework. I was like, please.
See, being a newbie to the film, I think my questions were always going to be quite newbie-ish.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours did the trip from Chicago take to New York?
Oh, well, I wouldn't have got that, I don't think. Probably 21 hours?
18 hours.
Right.
What shop are they singing in when they see Ira and Helen?
Oh, they are singing in something space. Because it was one of my questions.
The Sharper Image.
Sharper Image, that's it.
Damn it. I mean, how old is Helen when they have sex? How old is Sally when they have sex? I've chosen all the fucking wrong questions.
No, I can get this. She's 32.
32?
Yeah, because she's cause like, I'm going to be 40 soon.
What's the name of Joe's new girlfriend?
Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wife?
Kimberly.
Kimberly,
yeah.
What do they eat after they when they go to the restaurant after they have sex? I chose all the wrong fucking questions.
No, I might get it. Salad, green salad,
mixed green salad. Yeah. What hairspray does Sally use?
You fucker! I would not. That was one of your harsh ones.
That was my harsh ones.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
The Aquanet. And what does Harry nickname Sheldon?
Something schlong.
The Wonder Schlong.
Wonder Schlong.
Sheldon.
Yeah.
The Wonder Schlong. Damn it!
Do you want to know how harsh I went with you on some of these?
Oh, go
okay.
on then. Go on.
What number batting cage is Billy Crystal in?
7.
2.
Yeah. I'm just going to say things because I really don't
All right,
know.
Okay. How much was that dining room table?
$14.
No, $1,600. What was the first suggested wedding gift at Sharper Image?
A rampant rabbit.
Battery-operated pith helmet with fan.
Well, not far.
What are their respective new partners at the Pictionary game sort of thing?
Oh, I can't remember, but she's really funny because she's really dumb. No.
Emily and Julian?
Yeah.
What book did Sally pick up at the bookstore? And that required a Google, like a real Google.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Smart Women, Foolish Choices.
Nice.
What was he reading when she called him to have sex? It was the Icarus Agenda.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Kimberly the paralegal. I'm glad I've got that.
Nice.
And yeah, what stuffed animals are behind Harry in Sally's bed?
Pigeons. No.
Yes, because everyone has stuffed pigeons.
Pigeon.
Penguins.
Poor penguinos.
Poor penguinos. So there we go. That was...
There was one other as well that I noticed. There was a bit where he's reading a book and it has a relationship to
yep.
Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what book that was?
Yes. Misery.
Misery, yeah. Which he went on to direct after this.
Fucking amazing. I love Rob Reiner. I do love Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner?
Rob Reiner.
You said Rob Reiner.
Oh, are you taking the piss now?
No.
No, I think I did say Rob Reiner. But yeah, I do love Rob Reiner. I really like Rob
Reiner. I quite like Rob Reiner as well.
Thank you.
You won 5-1. Yeah.
What do you mean 5-1?
You won 5-1.
Oh, I thought you meant that was the score now. I was like, shit, man.
It was the score.
No, the
No, that is the score.
What it tallies.
That was the score.
So what are we on now, Darren? On episode 27?
We are now 4-3.
So, because I'd like to say, so one of the emails we got this week is from a good friend of the show, shall
yes,
we say.
Yes, yeah, he contacts us quite regularly. It's great.
We genuinely love hearing from him.
Yeah.
So this is from Brian, who first was known to us as Johnny from California.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny California.
So to be fair, I'm going to call you Johnny California forever.
Johnny K.
So he checked in with us this week at time of recording. And so I'm not joking, folks. If you ever want to write an email to 80s Adventure, you have got Johnny/Brian to live up to. So he wrote actually a lot of his opinions on the films, and which we loved. We loved reading through those. And he's like, you know what, Matt, thank you for fighting back in the quizzes. I like the underdog, blah, blah. So it sounds like Darren's going to be out for blood. And he has been. He has been out for blood. But we want to say a big thank you. Thank you so much, Brian, for writing in. We hope you have a happy new year.
Absolutely. I hope you had a great Christmas. And like Matt says, have a fantastic new year. It's great to hear from you. Your emails are fantastic.
We love them. And in fact,
please keep in touch.
We should have written back by now. If not, then give us a kick.
Yeah. It's Matt's job to do it, not mine. I can't write.
Hey, mate, I'll have written back. I'll have written back. Trust me, I'll have done it. I'll have done it.
And if anyone else wants to get in touch, yeah, please do. It's great. We've received so many emails each week, but just so, yeah, every now, and it's great to hear them all. It's great to read your opinions on it. We love it. Thank you. But every now and then, one arrives that we just think we've got to mention that. And if we don't mention you, sorry. Obviously, we get so many. It's impossible to do it.
But you know, the nice thing is, Daz, for me, and I think with you the same, it's obviously when you first promote a podcast, it goes out to people you know and people you haven't talked to in a while on Facebook. It's actually rekindled a few friendships over the last 6 months, 7 months.
6 months, yeah. And it's great. This isn't a chore at all. As we said it when we first started it, we got together when we could every Sunday night anyway, just for a few beers and to watch an 80s movie or watch some crap on YouTube or whatever, just to stay in touch and to be able to just record our stupid thoughts and for people to listen to it and enjoy it is fantastic.
Because without the microphone and the headphones, we'd still be saying this sort of stuff.
Exactly. We'd still be talking utter bollocks to each
other. We'd probably still be talking about Harry Connick Jr. if we didn't think we need to move on.
The man's a ledge. Anyway, we do need to move on. Yeah.
So, last orders.
Last orders of the...
Last orders of the year.
Oh. Shit year, though, isn't it?
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
So then, Mr. Matthew. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're in a new year.
Yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood and all that. I'm not even going to tempt fate by saying, hopefully a better year.
Yeah.
More importantly, what is our first film going to be? Give us the tagline and see if we can guess what it is.
I can do.
That makes it sound like you're not going to.
Well, I mean, or we could give this one a score first.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the Prosecco.
Yeah, okay.
All right, should we give it a score first? So, yeah, I mean, quick sum up on this, Daz. I mean, what do you think?
I
know you said you're going to watch it again, but...
I enjoyed it to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it to a point. I didn't hate it. I might watch it again at some point. I wouldn't go out of my way to do it. The performances are great.
Yep. But if Sayers has got it on, you know, you come in, you'll watch it, you'll...
It's a fine film. That's it for me. Yourself?
I enjoyed this much more than when I was 20.
Okay.
I think I got it more now. And as a performer, I'd love to do this as a stage play if it was a good stage play. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's one of those parts that you kind of think that would be so good to get your teeth into. And I'm sure as a play, you know, it would just so many clever devices and things like that. I really liked it. I won't watch it over and over again, but I will watch it again. I'll probably watch it again. So probably not something like Die Hard, like yearly, but maybe every 2 or 3 years. But really nice.
Cool.
So,
yes.
Score-wise then.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Like I say, I mean, for me, the actual film itself doesn't appeal to me that much because of the genre, if you like, but the production side really does appeal to me. The turns on the whole appeal to me. So it's a yin and a yang thing. So it's, for me, I'm going to be straight down the middle and say it's a 5.
Yeah. That's what I predicted you were going to say.
Yeah. It's not great for me. It's not bad. So yeah, 5.
I couldn't give it a 5. I need to give it much more than that because I think I got more out of it.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know, I and for Harry as well, you know. So I'm going to give it 7.5.
Okay, so it's a 12.5 from us. Do you think of this film?
Yeah, do you agree with us?
Yeah.
Or, you know, am I right? Is Darren right? Or are we both completely wrong and it's a 2-star film? Tell us. Absolutely tell us.
I don't think it's a 2-star film. It's not a mannequin by any fucking...
Well, that was a 3-star film from you.
Maybe overmarked.
But we do like hearing from you. We do like hearing your opinions on what you think about the film as well. So, I mean, the ways you can find us are if you go to facebook.com/80sadventure, you can go to patreon.com/80sadventure. So for some bonus content and extra episodes. And
send us a twat.
And send us a twat at Twitter at 80s Adventures. So we've managed to coin the 80s Adventures sort of stuff.
Yeah. So that's it for 2020.
That is it for 2020. Highlights of the year, Daz? There's too many, actually. There is too many.
Is there? Really? 2020?
No. It's in podcast-wise.
Oh, it's... just what
I mean, there's
the
been
podcast.
So there's been so many funny moments, like where we've literally fell about laughing.
And I saw them tonight,
and I've been sent outtakes, and I've been wetting myself. There was one point, what was it, a few weeks ago, when I just mumbled and went. And every single week, I mean, I have to see this, which is Darren kind of going, so such and such was released in the blah, blah, blah. And then he's like,
what are you talking about? That always and, just...
Oh, tonight, you couldn't get past yourself. You were like 5 minutes going.
I would say, you know, if you all joined Patreon, I would put up the outtakes. But some of them we just cannot possibly
Oh,
share.
No, my God. No, not if we want to.
But, you know, if we get 100 Patreon subscribers by the end of January, I'll put some out there. Let's put it that way.
Maybe.
But just the fact that we've actually got off our asses and done this.
Yeah, we were talking about, well, because we started a podcast in 2009.
Was it really that long ago? Mm-hmm.
It's before I moved to the Canaries.
Oh, yeah.
And we did Look Who's Talking Who. We started talking about Doctor Who. We did like 4 or 5 episodes. We kind of let it go. But the fact that we've done half a year now, man. Yeah. So I'm really proud of us. And also, we're really grateful to you for listening.
Yes. Yeah, please. But again, please share us with your friends. Let's try and get us back in the charts.
We charted this week, didn't we?
Yeah,
we were charting Ireland and America.
Let's try and get us number one in the charts.
Let's do that. That's our mission for 2021.
2021.
Number one in the film and TV review charts.
Yeah. Talking to 2021.
Yes.
Okay. What are we going to do?
Okay. So, the first film of 2021. The tagline.
Yeah.
Should you like to receive it?
I don't know what it
is. Okay. The tagline is, and this is a special film to us, some guys get all the breaks.
Mm. Some guys get all the breaks. Point Break.
No, and it's not Misery either.
Kickboxer.
We've done Kickboxer.
Oh.
Well, Point Break's 90s, so... Oh.
Well, we can't do that then.
I don't know.
But I'm looking forward to it anyway.
Well, look forward to it, Daz, and just, you know...
Are we going to have to watch it on VHS?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, get out
get
my dreams,
out
bitch.
Of my dreams. Listen, I've really enjoyed this year, and we really appreciate...
I've hated this year. I think it's been fucking awful.
No. When I say this year, I talk about podcast-wise. And it's been lovely to get to know some of you folks writing and things like that. So long may it continue. But we just want to wish you a fantastic new year from...
Hope you had a great Christmas. Have a fantastic new year. And fingers crossed 2021 will be so much better.
We really want to see you next year. Yeah. As Darren said, please like, subscribe, share us with your friends. We'll see you next year.
Absolutely.
Take care, folks.
Happy New Year's Eve!
You seen the film City Slickers?
No, but I've seen the film Slippery Knickers.
Oh, have you not seen? Have you seen? You must have.